In today's gospel from St. Luke, persistence in prayer is taught by Jesus. And in today's first lesson from Genesis, persistence in prayer is answered by the Lord God when Abraham intercedes for the people in the city of Sodom. The life of Jesus baptized through the power of the Holy Spirit rooted and built up as the body of Christ Jesus, our Savior, the Lord, is rooted and sustained in prayer. God our Father hears and answers our prayers and so strengthen us in His Son Jesus. As today, psalmists proclaim about persistence in prayer. When I called you, answered me, you increased my strength within me.
From God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, our Father, you are always more ready to hear and answer than we are to pray, and you gladly grant more than we either desire or deserve. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to fill us all with your Son, Jesus' abundant eternal life. In Jesus, continue to forgive us our sins that weigh on our conscience or are known to us, and grant us your forgiveness, grace, mercy, and salvation that only come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the world, for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples. All victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence. All victims of natural disasters, including our brothers and sisters in this country, recovering from the earthquakes, as well as wildfires and hurricane and tropical storm Barry. All victims of human-made disasters. All victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife. In Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, South Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit so that your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In today's first lesson from Genesis, Abraham undertakes the role of a mediator between the Lord God and the sinful people in the city of Sodom. Appealing to the Lord God's justice, Abraham boldly and persistently asked the Lord God for mercy for the people in the city of Sodom, for the sake of the few righteous people who are in the city, including Abraham's nephew, Lot. The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 18. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. Word of God, word of life. St. Paul warns his congregation in Colossae about the empty lure of philosophies and traditions that compromise faith in our Savior and Lord Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit's gift of faith in Jesus, the Holy Catholic Church is eternally connected with Jesus in his death and resurrection, in his gospel good news, which is enacted in holy baptism, holy communion, and fulfilling Jesus' ministries and missions. The second lesson is from Colossians chapter 2. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, trampling over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. Word of God, word of life.
In St. Luke's Gospel account of Jesus teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, Jesus also teaches them and us to focus on his forgiveness, grace, mercy, salvation, and eternal reign, and the strengthening of his communities and people through his ministries and missions. Jesus teaches his disciples and us to maintain childlike belief, faith, trust, and persistence in prayer, knowing that Jesus always hears and answers prayers, and that the Holy Spirit always intercedes on everyone's behalf. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished praying, one of his disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples. Jesus said to them in teaching, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to the friend at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Grace Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here today to honor the Sabbath. We come before you, Father God, bowing our knee to you, receiving the righteousness of your Son and his precious body and blood and his gospel good news, as well as all the holy scriptures from our psalmist today, from our Genesis text, from the writer of the letter to the Colossians. We're grateful to be here. We're grateful to be immersed in holy word and holy sacrament, our fellowship, our song, all the things that worship entail. And most importantly, we come and we say thank you, Father God, for sending your Son to save us and never condemn us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit instilling that faith as we praise and glorify and honor you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You send us from this place. The church never recesses. It comes to worship and it processes back out into the world to share the good news that salvation has come. Salvation is the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. May we boldly do so until you call us home. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Great to be with you today. Study St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. The Lord's Prayer, which is also recorded only in St. Matthew's Gospel, a little different. If you'd like to look at it, it's in chapter 6 of that Gospel. But Jesus, to me, over the last two chapters before today, has been waiting patiently and teaching in chapters 9 and 10. All the questions that have been asked of Jesus up to that point have been baited questions, or they were things that were untruths. Well, I'll follow you, and then the person had some excuse for not doing it. They go waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally today, Jesus gets a faith-based question. Truly faith-based. I always wondered which disciple it is that says, we're trying to follow your call and your command, Lord. We've seen the miracles. We know who you are. We know that you are God's Son. Even you have said so. We don't understand this dying and resurrection thing, but we're here. We're trying to answer your call and command. How do we do this? Teach us to pray, so that our minds and our hearts and our souls are open to do this. That's a faith-based question. I still wonder if it was Peter. You don't think Peter would ask that? Don't you think Peter would ask that? Teach us the way John taught his disciples, John the Baptist. And Jesus gives us this glorious prayer. This is radical. This is something to give thanks for. They had never heard anything like this. I would love to have been in the room to hear this. You're not allowed to address God directly like this. You're not allowed to say God's name. It's blasphemy. Here, my brothers and sisters, finally you've come to answer my call and command. Begin with this. Father, stop right there. This is radical. He's saying we can talk to God Almighty and call God Father. We're not supposed to even say God's name. Now we have a personal relationship. Father, hallowed be your holy name. Oh, those are glorious words. They would have been rejoicing. Wow, we've been waiting for the kingdom of heaven, and here it is, and he's giving it back to us. And we can tell God what we already know. Hallowed be your name. What's not there but comes from St. Matthew's Gospel is your kingdom come. Right out of the gate. Not ours, not our will and wishes. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is in St. Matthew's Gospel. On earth as it is in heaven. They've been told that the reign of God is someplace far away. Jesus is saying, pray to your Father and my Father in heaven that your kingdom comes in heaven and on earth as it is already in heaven. Right here. Right now, this is radical. They would have been rejoicing and going scratching their heads. Is he really saying all these things? We take it for granted when we pray it or sing it. This is radical love, and it's incredible good news. Can you tell me get a little excited about these things? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Yes, and sometimes for those who sin against us, it's radically difficult. Jesus in the teaching says, I'm with you. Work at it. Do not let the evil one make it infest inside you of a lack of forgiveness, that it eats you up like hatred does, and that's from the evil one. If it takes you a lifetime, know that the Holy Spirit is with you working at forgiveness. You are forgiven. Do your best to forgive others. He knows where our heart is. Grant us, not give. Grant us this day our daily bread and sustenance. what he's telling us to pray there is for the things we need in our earthly life and the sustenance that only comes from the kingdom of heaven from above. Salvation, forgiveness, grace, mercy, the love of God our Father. Grant us these things that we need daily in this earth and sustenance for eternal life. This is, are you getting excited yet? You notice I've got some stuff in parentheses in there to help you with some of the words. Did you see that when you looked at it? Did you see that when you looked at it? Are you awake this morning? And then we add, well, actually, before we add, the worst translation of the prayer that is still there and needs changed. It's not what he said in Greek. We pray, lead us not into temptation. That's garbage. He doesn't lead us into temptation. What he said was, pray to your Father in heaven, save us from our times of trial and our sinful nature. That oftentimes we're on the wrong path. We pray the Holy Spirit gets us back on the path the Lord wants us. Save us from our sinfulness in times of trial that the evil one lures us into. That's incredibly radical, incredibly good news. And then God added later, for yours, exciting, the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Never take this for granted. This is exciting, good news. And we kind of just, oh, our Father, art in heaven, yeah, you know, your name. This is radical. We're the only faith you can talk to God like this. Did you know that? And he gave it to his disciples and us. His faith. How do we fall? Your command and your call. Begin. Be grounded in prayer. It's as if Jesus is answering something from 2 weeks ago when the lawyer, who is a scholar in the Torah and all the commandments and all the Mishnah that surrounded it, that the Pharisees put together to say, you've got to do all these things to be righteous in the sight of God, your Father, which is impossible to do. Teacher, how do I inherit eternal life? What does the Scripture say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, do this and you shall live. Today I believe he's saying, pray this and you shall live. And do it with persistence. And do it with dogged determination. And never, ever, ever give up. Know that he's listening and answering. Things are flying around besides my arms. And he's always watching out over us through the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I've tried to be patient about since January of 16 was the demise of the House of Esther at St. John, now Hope Lutheran, Lake Weir. As we get closer and closer to moving into the Lord's new facility, that keeps coming up in people I meet from St. Vincent de Paul Society and Love, Inc. We've talked about it at the building committee. Gary came up with a concept that we could put potentially a new food pantry here. And Bill came up with an idea that probably would be better if we put it here. As I do all those things and prayerfully say, Lord, is that really what you want? Do you really want another pantry where people can come by appointment and are screened through St. Vincent de Paul Society and Love, Inc. to come and get prayer? They no other pantry like that into it, as well as the things they need from the shelves. There is still to this day no other pantry like that in the Tri-County area at all. And then Monday, much to your dismay. He knows me. God sent me to St. Teresa's Roman Catholic Church. Kate Bertzik volunteers there on Mondays. She helps to cook. St. Teresa's is about 6 miles from here on 301. Has meals 7 days a week now for people to come and eat. They also have a walk-up food pantry. All the food that was brought over the last week I had in my truck, and I wasn't going to let that not be used. So I ventured my way over to St. Teresa's Roman Catholic Church. And I got there, you know, about 1:30, and they were closed. I didn't know what their hours were, but there was a doorbell. And I rang it. And this glowing face came through the door. Hi, Father. How are you? I said, I'm good. I'm Dave. She said, I'm Mary Ann. I run the pantry here. Did you come to check it out? I run the whole kitchen. Done it for a decade. I don't have time to go sit around and lay around and get a suntan at the pool. Oh, I was, she was right up my alley right there. She said, where are you from? Christ Lutheran Church. Oh, we love you guys. And Kay, who's here helping us cook on Mondays. Oh, my heavens, she's fabulous. Come on inside. Be careful. I want to show you the facility. It's fairly new. So I went in and looked around at their commercial kitchen, and she showed me their pantry. And when I saw the pantry, she said, at a minimum, we use this pantry for 500 people per week. 500 minimum, outside of the hot meals, 7 days a week. And then she said this, we really need another house of Esther. Well, I said, that's been on our minds. And we're prayerfully trying to see what the Lord will have us do. And she said, if you do, then know that St. Vincent de Paul Society out of St. Mark's is ready to step in and do the clearing. And you will be able to lighten some of the burden from us. Does that sound like the Holy Spirit? Keep praying about these things to see what the Lord has in mind. We don't want to force our way into something, but everywhere I go, I keep hearing the same thing. Have you noticed that? I know you want me to stay home, but I'm not. If you didn't hear him, he said you're more dangerous at home. Probably true. In persistence, you know that some of the leadership at Hope Lutheran Church doesn't really take high account of me, which is fine. But what's bothered me about that is what goes on at Lake Ware Middle School, where they opened the rock. You know, we take care of Lake Ware Middle School. We got the school supplies from the House of Esther and Karen going now. Of course, we do Thanksgiving, which will also be all the food in the House of Karen and Jean. And then Christmas gifts, maybe in the new church, but probably not, because we don't have much storage space until we finish the sanctuary. And, of course, we do the food for kids during school season, where they get the backpacks full of food. But the rock opened. And Hope Lutheran Church is running it. And there are kids there that they get underwear and socks and sneakers and clothes for, as well as all the supplies and even food and personal hygiene items. But they won't tell me what they need. Persist. I will go around anybody, if you noticed, anybody who says we can't serve the kids and the families over there. And I've been waiting. But the Holy Spirit likes that sense of humor, because their website has a weekly newsletter that I read on weekly. And a week ago Saturday, there was this little blurb. Lake Ware Middle School principal has asked us at the Rock if we will do tutoring for math and English. Oh, knock, knock, knock. Here I am, ready to kick the door in. And there was a name in there, Fred O'Brien. So I sent it out to social ministry. And Louise was touched by the Holy Spirit. She said, well, I don't know so much about math, but I would like to tutor English. How do I do that? I said, well, call Central Campus and ask. And she did. And the Holy Spirit's great. Persevere. We've been waiting. Aren't you glad? We're in. We're in. If you're not excited about this, I don't know why. Because I will go around the leadership to get the help of the kids and families, right? Yes. Right? Louise called and they said, hey, Fred O'Brien's running that. We'll get you connected. And she talked to Fred O'Brien. And Fred O'Brien said to Louise, hey, you a member of Hope Lutheran Church? And she said, no, I'm a member of Christ Lutheran Church. But I still want to volunteer. And he said one word, and she put it in cat letters when she said it to me. Fantastic! Louise and Jan Sentman in the back corner, and now Tom Taylor, are going to go to a meeting on Friday the 9th to find out how to help, which means we will find out how to get tennis shoes and socks and sneakers and all the things the kids need. Persist. Persist, persist, persist. That is the good news. That's what Jesus says. Keep praying and the answers will come. Persistence, by definition, means continuance. In a course of action, in the face of oppression or difficulty, persist. Be obstinate, firm, and persist. Have you noticed that I'm like that? It's difficult when there's fractures in your family life. Persist. Persist and know the Lord's going to answer. In October of 2011, my mother was diagnosed with colon cancer. When she was diagnosed, much to my dismay, I found out I didn't want to drink all the stuff, so I never had a colonoscopy. I didn't know. She said, why did I get colon cancer? I said, because you never had a colonoscopy. She was scared. My oldest sister, Beth, and I traveled there, along with Beth's daughter, my niece, Christy. I was in touch with my middle sister, those three of us, and her name's Lynn. Mom was terrified that Lynn was going to come after we left. Mom and Lynn always had a rocky relationship, and she didn't want her to come. That's Mom's choice. So I said, Mom, I'll talk to Lynn. I was talking to her anyway about all the things going on. She goes, no, I don't want to put you through that. I'm going to ask the church attorney to do it. So the attorney, who's actually a friend of mine, Meg, wrote this letter to Lynn, who lived in San Diego at that time. Dear Lynn, by this letter, I'm confirming our conversation on October 4, 2011. At that time, I advise you that going forward, all contact, including telephone calls, letters, or visits concerning your mother, Jean Caudle, must go through me. You may not contact her directly. Thank you for your understanding and cooperation in this matter. From that day, my sister cut me and Beth and Christy out of her life, saying that we were part of that. I have never been part of that. I was the only one bridging the gap. I have had no conversation with her, my brother-in-law, and my niece and nephew since October of 2011. Persist. In 2016, I had no idea where my sister was living. She obviously knew a lot about what's going on in my life, which means she knows a lot about what's going on in my mother's life, even though she's going to say that she didn't. On my birthday, I got a card. It's the first time I had heard from my sister since 2011. There was no return address, no phone call, no phone message, so I had no way of talking. Dear Dave, I'm sorry you're hurting right now. I know you will find your way out of these troubling times. Please know that, as always, I'm keeping you in my thoughts and prayers. I love you in peace, Lynn. Wow, apparently she knew a lot was going on in Christ Lutheran Church now, but then back to St. John Lutheran Church. And then she wrote in February, the same year, no address, no way to contact her, no say, hey, call me. Hi, Dave. How thrilling to know you are freely moving forward from a harrowing time in your life. I hope you enjoy letting your heart, mind, and spirit fly high while leaving the sense that someone was attempting to pull you away from your chosen path far behind you. Please, in the midst of taking care of so many people, details, and more, try to remember to take care of yourself in peace with love, Lynn. No idea where she lived. No idea, phone number, no way to contact her. If she knew that much about me, she knew exactly what was going on with my mother. I know she talked each week with Mom's best friend, who's like my aunt, Ella May, because Ella May and I talked about that. She's best friends with Sue Ingram, who's best friends with me, and they Facebook. And guess what? Mrs. Ingram and Jean Connell are best friends, or were, until Mom died. You think maybe my sister knew a little bit about what was going on? Mom got sick and died. In 2018. And then this appeared. Dear Meg, this is from April 9th, 2018. During the past 6.5 years, I've complied with the directions you sent via a letter, along with the further instructions you had conveyed during a telephone conversation, and did not contact Jean Connell. Well, how about not contact my mother, Jean Connell? Whether she likes it or not, Mom's her mom. At no time did I understand my adherence to your orders meant I would not be informed of my mother's declining health to the point of reliance on paid in-home caregivers. How would you know that if you didn't already know that? In addition, it remains unfathomable to me that I would not be notified of my mother's death on March 25th, 2018 by Beth, Kath, Dave, Connell, or yourself. I had absolutely, positively, no way to contact her. No email, no phones, no address. She, by this time, had moved to San Marcos, California. From what has been shared regarding the service at Bach Funeral Home, April 5th, 2018, my absence was not explained as being created by your instructions to me in October 2011 at the direction of my mother and siblings. I had nothing to do with that. Again, this is another unimaginable aspect of the entire horrid situation, a situation in which I complied with your directions but was offered not one shred of decency in return. Now that the schism between Jean and myself, along with my husband and children, has come to a close, I can only pray for the strength to forgive. Also pray my mother is at peace from all the real and completely unreal injustices she believed were perpetuated against her here on earth. With time, I hope Elizabeth and Matthew, that's my niece and nephew, her husband Mark and myself will be able to remember my mother without the stain these last 6.5 years have remaining at the forefront of our thoughts. Persist. Monday through Friday, when I walk, I pray this prayer, and I've been doing it since 2011. Lord God, for the fractures and broken relationships between Beth and Lynn, Lynn and me, most importantly, may your will be done, and also, as you see fit, send your wisdom, your justice, your shalom, the things that you see that are needed for everyone involved in our family, friends, and relatives. Persist. I will not stop praying that. Someday it's going to get fixed, and believe. Yesterday I was at Gator Joe's, and it was crowded, and I heard a person say behind me, "I know that voice." I turned around. It was Jordan Creel, my stepson, who I have not had any contact with by his choice and his mother's choice, my stepdaughter, Julie, since December of 2010. He was here for his 10-year reunion at Bellevue High School with his girlfriend. We talked for 4 hours. Persist. Two things he said that stuck with me. Out of all the adults in my life, you have made the most profound impact. I learned more from you than anyone else. And thank you for putting me in Bellevue High School so that I could move on to college at Florida State and have a year and a half in versus Lake Weir High School. Persist. Persist. Because the evil one would have us say, "Oh, that'll never happen." That was December 2010. What a great July 2019 year of our Lord. Aren't you excited? If you have fractures in your family, persist in prayer for healing and wholeness. It does happen more often than not, especially if God's at the center of it. Jesus concludes today with this glorious teaching about persistence. Ask, and if it's His will be given. Seek, search, and you will find. And knock, and the door will be opened. Can you imagine sitting in the room with the disciples going, "That's what we wanted to hear our whole lives"? And that's why I still remember it from camp, and you're going to have to put up with me singing today. You can sing with me if you like. That's a camp song. Any of you campers out there? Yeah, do you remember this, singing this? I'm going to sing it once through, and then we're going to sing it a couple times if you'd like to join. You don't have to. I'll just stay up here and make a fool out of myself like I always do. But it goes like this. Seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given, and the love comes a tumbling down. And He said, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given, and the love comes a tumbling down. And He said, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given, and the love comes a tumbling down. Persist. Thanks be to God. Amen. As Pastor Carlson always told me, I'm intending to tell you, the Lord be with you now. Yeah, and now Sharon will dismiss us.
Go in peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. God our Father continues to send us to serve His Son Jesus and His ministries and mission fields. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day.